Say with you, weariness. Go with me to verse 10, 6 verse 10. Say it again, say weariness. You know, so many people, and I'm not, in fact, this is more me preaching tonight on weariness in the battle and how to overcome it. Many believers get into a state of weariness where their mind gets confused and the enemy has been throwing fiery darts at them through one situation or another situation, and then they make an illogical decision or they make a decision that is not weighed up or decided effectively, not with wisdom. Are you guys with me? So when they make this decision, they a lot of times they will make a decision and say, look at the fear in Gauteng, let's move to Cape Town. And it's made in rush, or it is made in weariness of battle. Then it becomes an emotional decision, and your whole life can be wrecked by it. Are you guys with me? I have seen friends, I have seen people that are close to me, I have seen staff, I've seen people making wrong decisions. Or they'll come and they'll say they're just weary and tired, and that is a sign that God says they must just go a little bit on the back foot or resign, or the, and then suddenly they lose everything. Where the Bible says, do not faint or lose heart in the day of weariness. When you grow weary, do not lose heart. Say with me, do not faint. So how does weariness come? Now, this is more for tonight's message. I haven't even started with this morning's one yet. But how does weariness come? It comes when fiery darts are shot at you. What is a fiery dart? Your grandmother died of COVID. Now, another cousin died of COVID. Now, your parents have COVID. And you've just been diagnosed positive. And the enemy says, you're going to die. It's just a voice in your head. What happened is you received a fiery dart. Are you guys with me? And it is weakening your faith. The moment those thoughts come in, once the thought comes in, an image appears in your mind. Once an image is visualized, it becomes a reality. And you dwell on that image. It sits there in front of your eyes. Are you guys with me? People wonder what it is to be under attack, or people might be under attack every single day and they think, no, I'm not under attack. Yet their faith is stinted. Their worship is silenced. They don't even have time to worship. They don't even have time to pray in other tongues because they continually battle weary and they're making emotional, fleshly decisions. Are you guys with me? Say with me, battle weary. Go with me to Galatians before we go to Ephesians. Go with me to Galatians 6 verse 9. And I want to ask you just to have a bit of patience with me. I preached at Cape Town, but I was very sick. That's why I didn't really preach in the two conferences here. I had no voice. So I did the one night just a little bit here, but I had no voice left. So I thank God we had preachers here. I don't know what I would have done, but I had to preach in Cape Town. I was still not well. And then I had to just take off a bit after that. So I missed, how many Sundays did we miss? Huh? No, two. Two Sundays. I was preaching there. Yeah, here I missed three Sundays. But myself not preaching two Sundays. So when you don't preach for two Sundays, you're a little bit like, I have to get into the flow of things. Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not grow weary. Say with me, not grow weary while doing good. In another translation it says, do not faint, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Say with me, I shall reap. You see, what weariness does is it brings a weariness on you so that you can faint in the day of adversity, or lose heart, or grow weary and lose heart, And the moment you do it, it is usually just before your greatest reaping or harvest. But if you have the ability to push through and say, I don't care how my emotions are, how my body feels, how my mind thinks, how down or discouraged I am, I have the ability to push through. You will see a harvest that is coming your way. Weariness comes just before the promise to discourage you. Are you guys with me? Weariness, listen, and those who lose heart, they fail to reap a harvest. And you see them entering into another cycle repeating itself.
Come on.
For some things in Scripture, there is only one chance. I'm not speaking of grace. I'm saying when it comes to prophetic promises, there is only one chance. I think it was Elisha who told the king to strike the arrow. He said to the king, strike the arrow, and as you strike it, you will have victory, and your deliverance will come. And the king struck it three times. And the prophet said to him, if you would have struck it five times, you would have won your enemy five times. Elisha can't, or the king can't go back and say, sorry, let me strike again more. No, it's over. The window is closed. There are prophetic moments, appointed times, that is a one chance only. Where God will tell you, I want you, let's say the building project, I want you to give this amount now. And then a person waits and they say, let me first go work out, and 3 months later, maybe I can do a hot, the window's closed. There's a prophetic promise, a prophetic action, or things of seasons where there's a harvest coming. And when we fail to push through and we faint just before that, are you guys with me? It'll take another cycle, or there might not be another chance, according to Scripture. So say with me, do not lose heart. Go with me to Ephesians 6 verse where we were, 6 verse 12, 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10, let's get into it. I want to give you this message this morning. I want to touch on two things. Now, Pastor Martin touched previously on, I think Pastor Martin, Pastor David touched on standing or resting or standing in the Lord. And belt of truth. So we're not going to get into all the armor during this series, but touching on specific armor points that is used, that we're going to give you secrets on. I want to share with you something. A lot of times we say only the sword is an offensive weapon together with a prayer, where it is not the case. Every single armor piece has an offensive ability. Let me give you an example. When they say the preparation of the gospel of peace with which our feet are shod. So the shoes of peace, of the preaching of the gospel. When you look at that shoes, the Bible says that I will shortly crush Satan under your feet. But then when you look at the shoes that the Roman soldier would wear, it had spikes underneath, about this long spikes underneath, that when they would walk, if there's somebody alive or something like that, they can walk on them and kill the person. So it has an offensive ability, not only a protective ability. Are you guys with me? The breastplate of righteousness, they would go into battle and the breastplate of righteousness would shine and blind the enemy in battle. So they would usually stand in a array which is pointing towards the sun, and the sun would reflect off their breastplates, blinding the enemy while they're going into battle. So it is offensive. Are you guys with me? And I can get into the helmet of salvation. I can get into the belt of truth. There's offensive things to it, offensive abilities to it. I can get into the shield of faith. There's offensive abilities to it, but that's not for this morning's message. We want to touch on, say with you, the sword of the Spirit and the javelin of prayer. Say it again. Say the sword of the Spirit and javelin of prayer. Now listen to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able, say with me, the whole armor. So this is the whole armor of God, that you, and the Bible says, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah, I think it is, let me see if I can get there. I think it is Isaiah 55. Let me see if I can get it. 62. Put on the screen Isaiah 62 verse 6. Isaiah 62 verse 6. Next verse. No, go with me to Isaiah 43 verse 26. No, it's not that one. I'm looking for one, I'll get it now. I want to get you a specific, give me the verse, Pastor Martin, Google for me, where it says that God is clothed in vengeance. I think it is in, might be in Thessalonians. Just Google that for me. Sorry? 59 verse 17. Go through 59 verse 17. Listen to this. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. This is God. Are you guys with me? Which means that when you dress in the armor of God, you look like him. When the enemy looks at you, when you are fully clothed, the enemy sees God. He puts on the garments of vengeance for clothing, meaning he is a God of vengeance. Where the enemy has touched you or touched your family or come against you, God is clothed in vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Meaning whatever the enemy has done against you, God will visit him and God will repay the enemy. He is clothed in vengeance. He is clothed in zeal. Go next verse. And was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Everything about God is passionate. So when a Christian stands in church and they just, you know, we had some people leaving the Cape Town church because I said stuff. So I said, if you just stand like this, you know, thinking that God needs you, I said, you can get out. So one person left and they wrote us a note and they said, even if I stand like that, God likes me. No, the Bible says he is passionate. He's clothed with zeal. Meaning everything he does has passion and zeal connected to it. When I worship him, it's zeal. When I pray, it's zeal. When I seek his face, it's zeal. When I study the word, when I preach the gospel, when I run an e-group, it's zeal, it's passion. When the enemy sees that, he sees God. Are you guys with me? Say with me, cloak me with a clad of zeal. Have a seat. Go with you to Ephesians 6 where we were. So put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 10. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Next verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go quickly, against spiritual hosts in heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Say with you, the evil day. I want you just to remember that. And having done all to stand. Next verse. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the belt of truth, having to put on breastplate of righteousness, we've been through this, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next week, we're going to close off with one or two more pieces. Above all, taking the shield of faith, of which you will be able to quench the fiery darts. So the fiery darts of the wicked one. These fiery darts, it is suggestive thoughts that comes to you. Okay, next verse. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Go one verse back. So we see here two things. He says, I want you to take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit. This is very important. First of all, it is of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? Which means that this is a spiritual battle. When we see that our wrestle is not with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers. The Bible says that the word wrestle there means the wrestle to us. But if you go deeper, it speaks of energizings and vibrations. That the enemy is so close up in your face. Are you guys with me? A lot of Christians are being energized by the world and by sin. Sin has an energy. What is an energy? It is the Greek word energeo in scripture, okay? God's power is energized, energeo. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Unless that power that you've been given is energized, which means fired up, or the ignition key is turned, and the car can actually start. It is only potential power. Are you guys with me? So a lot of believers is energized by sin. It's the law of sin and death. And then you have the law of spirit and life, the book of Romans says. So you have somebody standing here. God is here. The life of the Spirit is here. The world is here. And the life of the flesh is there and the enemy is there. So what happens is they're in the middle. They don't really go to prayer, or they go to prayer once a week. They come back, but they go out with their friends more. Then it's this club, then it's this restaurant, this swearing. And it's not that they are doing it. They are just with. But what is happening, and I'm speaking of, they are with for the fact of enjoyment, not for the fact of ministry. A lot of us want to justify and say, oh, I go out so that I can be a light in a dark place. No. You're kidding yourself. You're really kidding yourself. Just rather say, I'm going out to enjoyment. God will appreciate your honesty much more. Okay, otherwise I'll say, okay, who have you led to the Lord that night? Who have you ministered? Who have you prayed for that night? So you're energized. So you're sitting here. What happens is now you're energized by things of the world, by the law of sin and death. Now for you, now it's like you're pulled more this way than that way. Because there's one Sunday morning service you go to. You don't go to a Sunday evening service. Cell group, I don't know if I should be in a cell group, an E group. Maybe I go to a prayer meeting, maybe. But this, I enjoy everything. Now this energy is pulling me. And it's pulling my momentum. The law of sin and death. And I wonder, why am I battling with this sickness? Why am I battling with this thought of discouragement? Why am I always depressed? The law of sin and death is at work in you. It's pulling you constantly. But if I have the ability to cut it off, where the Bible says, that Paul says, mortify your members. And I go into the law of the life and the Spirit. The Spirit and the life. I involve myself with spiritual things of serving Christ. Another energizing will come in me that will cause me and give me the ability to lift off. It's like a rocket leaving Earth. There's a gravity pull that rocket has to break through before it's free. Listen to me. Are you guys with me? Once that rocket launches, if it doesn't break through the atmosphere, it pulls back to the earth. If it doesn't have enough rocket fuel and propulsion, I don't know what the wording is, to push it out of the stratosphere, it will fall back. But it needs a lot of energy and explosion power to push it through that atmosphere. Once it's up there, it can float. There, and a lot of people never come to that place of breakthrough. Are you guys with me? And they're struggling back here and they come up and they fall and they come up. No. What needs is a lot of firepower that can propel you beyond the stratosphere so that you can break free from the law of sin and death. And once you have broken free, it's something that'll snap and you'll feel you don't have any more desires to go back to that world. There's nothing in you that is pulling you back. Are you guys with me? I'm not getting to the word that I'm supposed to be getting to. So listen. And I want to remind you, those online and those who are here, sign up for the Demonology Advance. We're starting tomorrow night, live sessions with myself and Apostle Neville, 3 nights. It's going to be amazing. The link is downstairs, is at the bottom here in the church. Anybody can help you afterwards on signing up. And it's going to be live Zoom sessions. We're going to get into interrogating demons. We're going to get into the dissociation of the soul. We're going to get into the fractioning of the soul, the difference between an altar, a personality, and a demon. We're going to get into a lot of things. We're going to get into astral projections. We're going to get into whether who is vulnerable to it, who is not. We're going to get into a lot of complications when it comes to deliverance. Is it mental problems or is it an actual demon? A lot of things that people don't understand when it comes to deliverance. We've done deliverance for many years. I was speaking to somebody and I said to them, I said, you know, this person that was attacking me and say that I'm of the occult and this and that. I said, listen. I said, while you were in the occult, I was casting out devils long before that. And you were messing around, sleeping with this one, in the occult with that one. And now you want to come back and say you're repentant. I was already doing deliverance. And now you dare to come and say, I'm in the occult. I said, you better back off. And the person did back off. I said, don't come and toy around you. We've been doing this thing for... And then I said, you need deliverance. And I said, we're glad to take you through it. But the more we get towards the end times, the more possession you will see take place. That's why there's been a sudden explosion of deliverance in our church. Because you're getting into, the Bible says the day is getting more darker and evil. People are getting possessed just by technology. Are you guys with me? You know, people have to watch out what your kids watch. I'm not speaking of the Buzz Lightyear movie. We all know that's wrong. I'm not going to do a sermon on that one. But I'm speaking of your kid can sit on. I mean, my children won't have phones until they're 18. And you can sit on TikTok and you just scroll 1, 2, 3. And then all of a sudden you get a tarot card reader. And you see, the moment you are just, let me just see. The door is opened. As a Christian, that door is opened. You will feel anything. You won't feel a demon coming in. You won't feel anything. But the devil has just received a legal hold over you. And God has to back off because he's a just God. As I'm saying, the days are getting more evil and evil. And get onto the demonology course. Understand the reality of these things. Well, if we don't finish, we just carry on with this later. This is not a problem. But I want to go back to where we were. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. No. Go with me to verse 17, sorry. Verse 17. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Say with the sword of the Spirit. It doesn't say the sword of your church. It doesn't say the sword of your preacher. It doesn't say the sword of your calling. It doesn't say the sword of your good works or even your religion. It says this belongs to the Spirit. In fact, it's the Amplified says it powerfully. It says the sword that is wielded to the Spirit, meaning that this is the Spirit's weapon to fight. It belongs to the Spirit. And how the Spirit fight is by using this weapon, not how you fight. This is the sword of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? This is the Spirit's sword and it is the Spirit's tool. But listen to this. Before we get into this, let me just explain to you how the sword looked like. So in a Roman soldier those days, they had two swords. The one was a spatha, which was quite a long sword, about 3 foot long. And then you had a gladius, which was about 18 inches long. Now, a gladius was a sword that had both edges sharp, where the Bible would speak about a double-edged sword. Both edges would be sharp. But a gladius was more powerful than a spatha. Now, when Paul spoke in the Greek about the sword of the Spirit, he used the word makaia, which was the gladius, which is 18 inches long, short sword like this. But it had advantages above a long sword. It was swifter, it was quicker, it was much less in weight. And it had the ability that once it goes into you, it was so sharp, it was a double-edged sword. And they had a maneuver that once they would pierce you, they would either cut you in the midsection or in the heart. In the heart, you would be dead. But if they put you in the midsection, they would lift up the sword and go down. And by one strike, you'll be killed. Where with another sword, you can have a gash or a wound, and the enemy would still be able to fight further. So Paul is saying, listen here, when we are clothed with the armor of God, there's something called the sword of the Spirit. It is not a spatha sword. It is a gladius sword. And when he was speaking to this crowd, they knew exactly what he was talking about, because it was their everyday, they knew how a Roman soldier was dressed. Are you guys with me? So he says, this sword is a double-edged sword. So with the double-edged sword, and it will give you a death blow. But listen, it is the Spirit sword. What do I mean by that? The way we fight a battle is by the Spirit, not by flesh or responses or reactions of the flesh or our mind. The moment I'm in a spiritual battle and I react emotionally, the moment I react emotionally, I've lost the battle. And now we want to try to win a spiritual battle with human resources or philosophies, or humanize the ability to fight, or bring it into a carnal realm, where the Bible says, no, the way we fight is by the sword that belongs to the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you guys with me? So we don't have to interpret what the sword is. It is the Word of God. I'm just thinking of time and how to flow. Are you guys with me? So certainly the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. Now, I know that Pastor Martin touched a little bit on this last week with the belt of truth, and you went into all three. You went to Logos and Grapha. Okay. So, do you want to just put that in? So, sorry, my shoes keep going out. Timothy, which is the Word of God. He's saying this sword, what the Spirit uses to fight, is the Word of God. Now, a lot of people think it's this word here, which to a degree it is, and we'll get into it now. A lot of people think it is only God speaking, which it is to a degree. But there's three realms, three dimensions to the word. I know Pastor Martin mentioned some. Number one, there's graphe. So the graphe. Graphe simply means the written word. It is this Bible here. So whenever you say my Bible, you can say my graphe. So when the Bible speaks of the Word of God, and I can look in the Greek and it says graphe, it speaks of the written word. It has no power yet. Are you guys with me? Somebody can burn that book and nothing will happen. It is a book. A lot of people are superstitious and they have a cross or the Bible and they think it's going to protect them. You're playing with witchcraft. I'm telling you, if you have it, repent. A lot of people wear a cross and they say it's for their protection. It's witchcraft, because it's an idol. A lot of people say, no, I put my card in my Bible so that, you know, for protection. Or when you come into our house, our Bible is there in front because it protects our house. I've seen people, you're putting your trust in something that is a carved, graven image. It's nothing but idolatry and witchcraft. Okay. I don't wear crosses. I don't do those things. I'm not saying use it for fun, but the moment you put your trust in it, and people do it, they say it is for good luck. I've heard many Christians do it. They say it's for protection. No. God does not live in temples built with human hands. He lives in the temple of God inside of you. So that is witchcraft. Are you guys with me? A lot of people say they sleep with their Bibles right next to them for protection from, so they can have good dreams. It's witchcraft. So say graphe. Then you have, so that's the written word, purely the written word. Then you have logos. What is logos? Logos is the message of the graphe. Are you guys with me? It is, so graphe is the written. Logos is the living word. It is the message. Logos is when you sit in a church service, you hear the word and you begin to understand what is being preached. The moment you understand what is being preached, I'm not saying that it's a great revelation. I'm just saying the moment you understand what is being preached, you're now working with logos. It's becoming an understanding. The message is coming through to you. Jesus was the logos. He was the sent word of God. He was sent with a message. Are you guys with me? Logos also means the logic of God. So, how do I get the logos from the graphe? Are you guys with me? So, as I read this word, it gives me an understanding of God's logic, of God's mindset, what He thinks about me, what His promises is towards me. The moment I begin to understand it, it now becomes alive to me. And there's a message in there that is towards me. Are you guys with me? Then I get to the third dimension, which is, say with me, rhema. So once I have graphe, which is written, logos, which is living, rhema, which is, say with me, spoken. So this spoken has two ways of being spoken. This is very important. It is God speaking to you. So it is you reading a scripture and all of a sudden a revelation jumps out. And you say, it's like, I've never read it before. It's like, that is meant for you for this moment which you're in right now. It's like you're busy with a business deal and all of a sudden you're reading a scripture where the Lord is saying that He'll give all contracts to you. I'm just using an example. If there's a scripture like that, He'll give all contracts to you. And all of a sudden it jumps out and you feel it is for that moment there. What has happened? You read the graphe, you understood the logos, and then the rhema came for a specific purpose and a specific moment. God's rhema doesn't always come. It is given to you for a specific moment and purpose. But we need to start by the graphe, get into the logos, get into the rhema, and then I hear God speak. The moment I hear God speak, it gives me power, but then I must go to the second dimension of rhema. I must speak it. It has no power when God speaks it. Are you guys with me? It has no power when God speaks it. When God spoke to Ezekiel, and He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, yes. And then the Lord says, they shall live. Tell the bones, prophesy, son of man, 1, 2, 3. That say the bones will live, come together, 1, 2, 3. And we see God stopping and nothing happens to the bones. And then Ezekiel begins to prophesy and say what God said. The moment he said what God said, the bones begin to come together, bone by bone, piece by piece, which means Ezekiel had to speak what God spoke. Are you guys with me? Say with me, have you said, say with me, double-edged. Say two-edged. So the Bible says these words. It says in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12. Go Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is sharp, is living and powerful. Say with me, living and powerful. The word of God here, the word is logos. Okay? The word of God, logos, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Say with me, piercing, soul and spirit. I'm speaking of the logos. The logos will pierce you, but the rhema will pierce the enemy. You have to go beyond Logos. The Logos will sort you out and work with your spirit man and your soul. But the Rhema deals and pierces the enemy. If you want to overcome a situation, you take the Logos and it becomes a Rhema. And you're given what we call a two-edged sword. But the two-edged sword here in the Greek doesn't mean two-edged. It means two-mouthed words. Double-mouthed words. Are you guys with me? Go to Revelation 1 verse 16. Is it 1 verse 16? Go to Revelation 1 verse 16. Let's see. He had his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So he's saying out of his mouth came a two-edged sword. Again, this means two-mouthed sword. A two-mouthed word. Which means God requires the word to come out of his mouth to go towards you. And then for the word to come out of your mouth back to him. For the word of God must return to him, not void, the scripture says. Will not return to him void. So the word that proceeds out of God's mouth will not return to him void. What does that mean? If the word that goes out of God's mouth has to go, fulfill what it's done, but then come out of your mouth, returning back to him, what he has spoken, then it is complete. And then a double-edged sword is given to you to pierce the enemy. It's very simple, but it requires you to speak. Say with me, speak. Say it again, say speak. A lot of people study and read and they think it is enough. It's not enough to deal with the enemy. Have your seats. The second part we'll get into later. This is just the first part of the message. The second part we'll get into later, which is very powerful. You know, a secret when it comes to how to put all these things together when it comes to the armor pieces. But let me say it like this. Say with me, I read the graphe to understand the Logos, to receive a Rhema for a specific purpose. That is it. I read the graphe to understand the Logos, to receive the Rhema for a specific purpose and to deal with the enemy in a specific purpose. So what does it mean? It means when I wake up, if I read in the news that there's going to be something like monkeypox, whatever that is, I don't know who's had it. I haven't seen anything. I don't know if it's dangerous. But all I know is that COVID didn't touch us. No one in the church. When I say no one in the church, no one died in the church. In the church. Now, don't take offense if one of your family members died and you think they were in the church. No one in the church passed away, a member of the church, because we're praying. And that doesn't mean that we are rude in saying that. I'm just saying that just for the sake. But listen, I have to get to the second part, which I'll do later, to get this into context, because it is very important. So please remember this. This message this morning, so that we can get the two parts as one. But Rhema requires me to speak or to hear what God has said, and then to speak and say what He has said. Are you guys with me? So how do I fight it? Now I'm looking and it says there's monkeypox or this or that, and this one's going to die and this is going to happen. So I go to Psalm 91, and I can go to many scriptures. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will serve the Lord as my refuge, my fortress, my God, and my will trust. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver me. So if he deliver me. Now I begin to wake up. What do? I speak the word loud in my prayer. You see, this is where prayer comes in and becomes focused. A lot of people pray for what they want, which is unbiblical, really. Yes, the Bible says, pray and God will give us an answer as to our wants, but there's a law to it. It must be done according to His word. Meaning, if I just pray and I just say, Lord, I want this mansion, this 10-bedroom mansion, this Ferrari, He is not going to answer us according to our own selfish desires. What has He spoken? Are you guys with me? So I have to read the graphe until it becomes a logos. So now I'm reading His graphe in Psalm 91, and it's becoming a logos. I'm beginning to understand it. Now I'm applying rhema, and I'm beginning to speak it. Because His logos, when I understand it, I hear God beginning to speak it to me, and then I speak it back. So He says, surely, and I begin to say, surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. The trust shall be a shield and a buckler. I shall not be afraid, terror by the terror by night, nor of the arrow that fires by day. Meaning, I shall not be afraid of any fiery dart. I have the shield of faith that can stop. What is a fiery dart? CNN is saying 1, 2, 3. Or this news is saying 1, 2, 3. Out of my Christian friends, 2 has died of COVID. I'm one of the other 2 that's left. The other one hasn't. I just got it. And the enemy whispers to me, you're going to die. What happened? Fiery dart. What is your immediate response needed? Prayer. According to the word. Say with me, prayer. According to the word. So I said, I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that fires by day, nor of the pestilence. What is the pestilence? The sicknesses that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes by noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my one side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even my Most High and my habitation. Therefore, there shall no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. And then all of a sudden, I read, neither shall come any plague near my dwelling, and something jumps off. What happened? I spoke it, but something jumped off, and I say, plague, COVID, plague. Wow, not come near my dwelling. Now I begin to speak it. And I heard God speak it to me because it jumped off the page. And now I begin to speak it. And every prayer that I have is taking that verse in context. Then I go to another one, death shall not take you. Then I go to another one, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Then I go to another. Say with me, pray the words. That is where when I don't use the word to pray, I lack authority. I come to the enemy with no substance and I sound empty. If Jesus had to go into the wilderness and say, it is written 3 times, stand to your feet. If Jesus had to go into the wilderness and say, it is written 3 times, if the Logos word had to speak the Graphe word in order to use the Rhema word, how much more us who are not the Logos? Do we need to speak the Graphe words, to get to the Logos, to get to a place of Rhema? And when the devil heard Jesus speaking it 3 times, and listen, the book of Luke says something very interesting. It says by the third, it says, it. Jesus answered the devil and says, it is written. 1, 2, 3. So what happened? The devil says, you will go hungry. Take these stones and turn them into bread. And Jesus went into his scripture Google system in his head, meaning he understood the Torah, he understood the law, the prophets. So in his mind, he took this, he says, okay, the devil is throwing hunger at me. Now he scrolls in his head, hunger, 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 hunger. And scriptures begins to pop up. And he goes to Deuteronomy 8. And he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. So what do? The devil throws a situation against you. You go into the scripture. A scripture should be in you. You just search. You say, okay, but there it's saying this. There it's saying this. Plagues. What is it saying? COVID is coming against my family. What is the Bible saying about plagues? No plague shall come near your dwelling. So now I take the words and I strike it back at the enemy. it is written. Secondly, the devil comes to him again, says, I'll take you up into a high place. Do you know that God allowed the devil to take Jesus? God will allow the devil to take you sometimes for a season. And he allowed him to take him. And again, Jesus says, it is written. By the third time, Jesus said this, it is said. And the word said is a combination of logos and rhema, which means it was spoken in a way of understanding. He said it went beyond logos, and it was at that moment where the Bible says the devil left him for a more opportune time. Say with me, logos, say graphe, say rhema. Now there's a secret when it comes to prayer, on how to apply these weapons, and when it comes to praying at all times and what it means. It doesn't mean all times. When the Bible says that Jesus left, the devil left Jesus for a more opportune time. Then it says in Ephesians 6 that Paul says, pray at all times, which should actually be changed to pray at an opportune time, an appointed time. But I'll get into that later. Say with me, say these words with me. Say the sword of the Spirit. The weapon of the Spirit. The word of God. Raise your hands to the Lord. The Bible says these words. It says, be a faithful minister, a hardworking minister, rightly approved by God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, meaning I have the keen ability to take scripture, to take verses from all over the scripture, bring them into my prayer life. That the moment that I speak, listen here, prayer is not a wish list. Prayer is not a ritual before I eat. Everybody that just gets, some people sing a little tune, they say a little rhyme, it's all rituals. It means nothing. You don't have to do that. You can just eat. It's a ritual. Some people are so bound by the thing, it's like they cannot eat until they say their little ritual. That's not prayer. Prayer is taking the word off. The Bible says very simple what we must do when we eat. It says give thanks to God. That's it. It's already blessed. Are you guys with me? You bless that in the meal, but you eat a chocolate without praying. I'm just saying, people are religious and they are full of rituals. So prayer is more than wishes. Prayer is more than just a thing going to bed and say, oh, thank you for the day, da, 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 da. No, no, no. Prayer is taking the word and reminding God of what he has said already. Prayer is giving heaven permission to interfere in an earthly situation. It doesn't force God, but it gives him permission to the degree of reminding him of his promises. Are you guys with me? Raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your glory. May the anointing rest upon each one. May your protection rest upon them, even as we get back here at 5 o'clock, may the Spirit of the Lord rest in this place. May you visit your people. Before we end with a spiritual warfare series, may there be impartation of a keen ability to fight the Spirit way. That is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That you'll give revelation to each one here on how to live a victorious life and not go through the cycles of life over and over again. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's give him a praise offering, church. Come on, praise him, praise him.